and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebukule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Hey, dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebukule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today we have a returning guest, Bulelwa Mahura, and we are talking about social workers behind the scenes. And today you're not even hearing the subscription promo, because this is one of those episodes that I would like as many people as possible to hear it. So if you could do us a favor and share it and refer people to it, because what you're going to hear today is something that says a lot about us as a society. You know, the social workers plight or the burdens that they deal with that we are not aware of is actually quite shocking to me. And you know, when I was planning the topics and the kind of guests that I want for the year of the Stretch Podcast, I had in my notes social workers, because if I'm going to be focusing on healing, spiritual well-being, mental well-being, emotional growth, personal development, there is no way that I can't speak to social workers. So I had them on my list. However, why I have Bulelwa is because I had them on my list for some time down the road, you know, because I was still going to think, you know, who the guest is. Meanwhile, I have Bulelwa, who is not just a social worker. She's a life coach. She's a former client, former student, and now has become a sister to me. And it's funny that I didn't think of her when I thought, yeah, I still need to actually find a social worker so we can talk about the whole thing of social workers and how they impact society. So how is it that we then got to talking about this? Bulelwa had posted on her Instagram, you know, she's got this beautiful Instagram, please follow her. She has a growing Instagram page where she wears two hats. One, obviously, the life coaching stuff, but two, she also is trying to mobilize social workers and to sensitize us and to bring awareness to us about the world of social workers, what they go through, the things that they face that you can never even imagine. You know, because social workers, in a way, they're also like nurses in a way, where it's like, they're there, but not really, you know. Meanwhile, they are dealing with our biggest issues as society. So she posted on one of her stories on Instagram. So it was a story, so it's gone. You can't find it on her post, because, you know, stories are like statuses on WhatsApp. They disappear after 24 hours. And some of the things she was saying there were just shocking to me. That, wait a minute, what? The fact how under-resourced they are, how intense the work really is. I mean, I don't remember things verbatim, because, like I say, it was on the stories. But it moved me enough to say, hey, can we talk about this? Because in her stories, she was even asking her followers to say, would you like me to do a live on this so I can explain this even deeper on a live video, you know, you do a live on social media? I responded, I said, yes, please do a live, but can we also have a podcast episode about this? And she's like, good shot. When can we do it? I'm like, when are you available? And here we are. So that's why this is part of this. That's why it's not a part of the subscription only, because I would like as many people to hear it as possible. If you could help us and share it far and wide, that would be helpful. Now, Bulelwa is returning to the podcast. She was with us on episode 177 with Makhotso. So if you want to hear that side, and there we were talking life coaching. So if you want to hear another hat that she wears, you can go and listen to that. But also you can go and listen to that to also hear about how I know her, how I met her, and some of my thoughts about her. I think I gave a very deep and elaborate, gesture of how I know her. I mean, she means the world to me. She's someone that I deeply, deeply love. And so I was telling people about how much I admire her and love her. So you can listen to that. Here, though, I will read her bio because I think it's just important to just read what a person has sent you in her bio. It's a little long, so I'll just start here, and then I'll tell you what we covered, and then I'll give you the conversation, okay? Okay, so Bulelwa Mahura is a social worker and a life coach with a passion for people. She is fascinated by human beings and the experience of being a spiritual entity living in a physical body. She loves to see people learning, growing, overcoming challenges, and thriving in life. And she feels honored to witness people's journeys and to make a contribution towards their growth. And that is her. Hey, that is her. Please follow her on Instagram so that you can hear some of how she helps us grow. I mean, she's a former student, but I think she's a student and teacher, if you know what I mean, because I listen to her, I value her views, I follow, and she writes pretty, pretty well. I follow what she says, I try some of her tips, and she's just a brilliant, brilliant teacher, which is another hat she needs to add to her bio, you know. Social worker, life coach, and teacher, Bulelwa, if you are listening. Bulelwa is an adherent student of life. Yes, that's true. Her superpower is a big loving heart, which is demonstrated through deep compassion and unconditional acceptance. She's an introvert. Yes, she is. A natural nurturer and a believer in experiencing joy right now. So she's here today to talk about the world of social work. But let me just quickly warn you. So the reason I wanted to talk to her was based on what she shared about her field of social work. However, the conversation I start with just starting with the broadness of social work. What do social workers do exactly? What sectors do they appear in? And she takes us through that, although that's a small part of the conversation. A bulk of the conversation is on what she does specifically, which is what she had posted about. So she works with people with disability, cognitive disability in particular, you know, people who can't do much for themselves. And she's been doing this work for 20 years. She's been a social worker for 20 years. I think she's been doing this type of social work maybe just as long, but I know that she's been a social worker for 20 years. So you are going to be listening to someone with like some serious experience there. And it was, I mean, this is a kind of conversation that needs a part two and a part three and a part four. That's how broad it is. Because what I want to do with this topic is to talk to different social workers in their different fields. For an example, the social workers who work strictly with ex-offenders, you know, people who are on parole. There are social workers who work strictly with people who are dealing with substance abuse, who are abusing substances. We have a crisis in the country of our children hooked on crystal meth, hooked on nyaupe, hooked on all these alcohol. The social workers who deal strictly with those, the social workers who deal with child-headed household, child abuse, gender-based violence, social workers in hospital, social workers at school, social workers in prisons, social workers in social societies, the social workers also in corporate who work in their wellness programs. Social workers are everywhere, and yet social work seems to be that forgotten stepchild, you know, in the greater scheme of things. And Bulelwa is going to try and unpack why that is. Now, I know I'm belaboring this point. I just want to say that this was just the beginning of a larger conversation. So listen, share it, hopefully some people high up in in government can hear this, and let's see, think about how you could help. Think about your role as well as you're listening to Bulelwa, as to how is it that we can play a much more involved role to help people who are social workers and people who are dealing with some of the issues that Bulelwa's beneficiaries, as she called them, or rather I would call them clients, but that her beneficiaries are dealing with. Now, let me not prolong this intro. I did promise people that my intros are going to be shorter. Let me stop here and say that it is a free, full episode, and there'll be more episodes that I give for free if I feel like it's a message that needs more ears, and it should not be limited to subscriber only. But I do urge you, to please subscribe. It's a 99 rands a month. Just 100 rand, guys, a month for you to get full episodes, because there's going to be more episodes that are partial. But when your heart is ready, click and subscribe. But if you're not ready, feel free to listen to partial episodes and old episodes that are full, that were not under the subscription model, especially if you are new, just so that you get a sense and feel of what we do here. And when your heart and mind and soul and everything is aligned, and you feel like you can contribute to what the work we do here, it is 99 rand. The subscription link is always at the show notes, at the bottom, and on all my social media links. So when we say link on the bio, when you click that bio, you will see one of the tabs will say subscribe to the Stretch Podcast. Once you subscribe, you can you will get full episodes with a completely different feed. So you won't even have to come to Podbean or Spotify or Google Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You will get a link directly into your email every Sunday alerting you to a new episode. And in the subscribed episodes, I do have a different intro all the time, you know, just to give that differentiating feel as well. With that, I give you the conversation with Bulelwa. There's some questions I received. I will answer them at the end of the conversation. So after my conversation with Bulelwa, don't go. There's some questions I need to answer about the subscription model. Okay, I give you Bulelwa Mahura. Bulelwa is back to the Stretch Podcast, and this time you are on your own. We don't have our co-pilot, Makotso, and this is because you are here wearing a very different hat, which obviously links to your work as a life coach, but today you are wearing a social worker hat, and you are here talking about something very, very, very important. But before we get there, I just want us to talk a little bit about social work, because it's a very important field that, I don't know, it feels like it's ignored. Nje Yona is a field. We revere psychologists, psychiatrists, even life coaches, even healers, you know, people who are healers in a Ngoma sense, are sort of more revered than social workers. And I think social workers are doing phenomenal work over and above the kind of social work that you are doing, which we'll get to. So tell us a little bit about the field. What is it? What is it not? What do social workers do?
Wow, Lebo, first of all, hello. And
did I not give you a chance? Okay, I'm going to mute because you know I'm going to screech.
Gosh, hello, and thank you so much for inviting me back. I am feeling so honored, truly, because I love your work. I love your guests. I admire the work that you're doing, and I learn so much from the podcast. So to be invited back is really such an honor. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And social work is so broad, hey? It's so broad. if I had to kind of go according to the categories of the Department of Social Development, we have the disability field, yeah, working with people with disabilities. We have older persons, which is, you know, the old people. Then we have children. And with children, you also have families and children, because obviously children are minors. They don't stand on their own. They have to be under the care of families, parents, guardians. And then we have probation officers work with people that have broken the law. So you have that kind of social work. And then you have victims of violence, GBV. And then you have people that work with people that were offenders and now have left prison and are trying to integrate them back into society. Am I counting everything? I don't think I'm even counting everything, but you have all those different categories. And then you have social workers who work in private practice, and those will mostly focus on corporate work. You know, so they'll do the kind of work that industrial psychologists do, you know. So providing wellness programs in the workplace, basically. Then you have policymakers, you know, people that just work with government. They do research, they go into communities and they find out how people live, what's working, what's not working, and then they try to come up with laws and policies to guide the work that we're doing. Gosh, and then in
and
government you have
as
social
well.
workers, schools, school social work, and then you have social workers who work in hospitals as well. So yeah, social workers can be anywhere and everywhere, you know. We work with people basically and trying to solve problems, trying to look at the relationship between the person and their environment and how the two impact on each other and how we can optimize those relationships.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's when I bombarded you before even greeting you, was I correct to say that social work is almost like that step kid that can take care of themselves? Is that the sense you are feeling as a social worker, and we're going to talk about your field in particular, or am I just imagining this?
I think in a sense it is like that, because we are a society, or humanity has become a society that values money and things that money buys, you know. And in social work, like if you look at the NPO sector, it's non-profit. We're not making money. We're not really, you know, like you can't put a monetary value on the work that we're doing, you know, or we can't say we are contributing this much to the economy in terms of like tangible rents and cents, you know. So I think because of that, and we work with the marginalized, we work with the poor, we work with people who live under the breadline, you know. So because our profession works with those people, I think we are then, you know, put under that blanket that we are unimportant, we are the marginalized, we are
So your work is almost, it's a reflection of how we see those categories, the orphans, the elderly, the disabled, the people living with disability, and people, you know, with problems and problematic teens. So we lump you up with all of that, which says a lot about who we are as a society, because the little that you've just mentioned, social work should be right up there with, you know, education, for an example, or even doctors, you know, given, especially given the problems we are facing as a country. Wow.
And, you know, I've been a social worker for more than 20 years. And I feel like throughout my journey, I've been growing and, you know, trying to find my feet, trying to make my mark, you know. And I really got to appreciate the work that I do only recently. When I looked at the beneficiaries that we work with, they've got cognitive disabilities, intellectual disabilities. So they're unable to really introspect and self-reflect and look at why did I behave that way? What causes
Mm-hmm.
me to feel this? You know, so because they're not able to do that, we realize that, you know, it's useless to send them to a psychologist. It's useless to send them to psychiatrists because they can only medicate them, maybe to try and calm them down if they have a bit of aggression. But in terms of interpersonal interaction, they can't work with them. But we are able to work with them as social workers. You know, we're able to deal with them on a day-to-day basis. That made me appreciate
The work that you do.
profession.
Yeah, let's then get into, I mean, 20 years is a long time, and we'll obviously come in and out of the areas of social work, but let's get into the work that you do every day, you know, the benefit, you call them beneficiaries, the direct work that you do every day. And I know you work with people living with disability. If you could just paint us a picture from who they are, the kind of care you give, what does it cost? What kind of support do you need, or do you get or don't get? If you could just paint that picture for us, because when I saw on your Instagram stories, I thought, if I'm hearing this for the first time, I am sure that a lot of my listeners will probably be hearing this for the first time too. Take it away.
Yeah. Okay, so I work for a facility, a residential facility. So which means that our beneficiaries live there because their families are not able to take care of them because of the severity of their disabilities. They have problems with speech. Some of them, they're either nonverbal or they have very severe speech difficulties where you really struggle to hear what they're saying. So they would never be able to find work or be independent, you know, and also they also have physical disabilities, a lot of them. So they have to be in a facility like that.
And
you know?
And it doesn't matter what age group they are, it's all age groups, it's all genders, it's all races. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not like working
so,
with
but
elderly. Okay. Continue.
Yeah, the facility that I work for, we work specifically with adults between the ages of 18 and 59. But we also realize that there aren't a lot of old age homes that cater for people with disabilities. So we keep them for their lifetime, basically, because we can't send them anywhere else. And we are in the process of registering, like they call it dual registration. So we registered as a facility for persons with disabilities, adults, but also for elderly people, people that are 60 years and over.
Okay.
So it costs, the last time we did the exercise, it cost 13,000 rand. That was in 2018. It cost 13,000 rand to look after one person in our facility, right? And our fees at the moment are 10,000 rand.
Yeah.
And so that means that the family has to pay the difference between 10,000 rands and the disability grant. The disability grant comes to us because basically it's an addition. You know, it's kind of like it helps the family to pay less, you know, instead of paying 10,000 rands directly from their pockets, they then have this disability grant to help a little bit.
But the disability grant, oh wow,
it's only
we just
2,000
literally said the same thing. Because I was going to say, but the disability grant is like 1,800 or something. It's around 2,000 rand.
It's just around 2,000 rand. So it's, you know, it's not even the 13,000 rand that we worked out, you know, that it costs to actually look after a person. So we're working at a deficit all the time. All the time we're trying to catch up. And the reason why I started with the topic in the first place is because I deal with inquiries on a daily basis, and I get all these phone calls, people wanting to place their people because they need it. But they're all so shocked. Most of them are shocked. Maybe 80% of them are shocked that there's a fee, that their disability grant is not enough to look after that person. And why is it so expensive? We have to hire care workers. Right.
Yeah.
So okay, let me give an example. With one of the cottages, we have 40 beneficiaries and 10 caregivers, which means that it's one caregiver for four beneficiaries. Right.
Yeah.
So to have 10 caregivers during the day, it means that you need two shifts. So you need 20 caregivers because they can't work all the time, right?
Yes,
And they
yes.
work a 5-day shift. So when the five work, they work 5 days, they go off, somebody else must come in when those are off. So you have 20. So you have double of all your staff.
Yes, we are laughing and it's not funny because I mean, if we don't laugh, we will
it's
cry.
Yeah. Laundry, cleaners, kitchen, everybody has to be double because everybody has to have days off. They have to take a break. They have to take leaves. Do you understand? So that's partly what makes it expensive. And then to feed, when I started there, we had 110 people. So to feed 110 people every day, breakfast, lunch, and supper, how much do you need? You know, and to keep the facility clean as well, the gardens, you know, you might think it doesn't matter. The gardens
no,
don't
it does.
matter. We worry about the people. But it does.
It does.
It does. The gardens matter. The cleanliness matters for the people that live there and their well-being to feel like they're in a clean space, in a beautiful space, but also to attract other people, you know, to come and place their loved ones there. So everything is important. And then there's maintenance. Our facility has been in existence for 55 years this year. So if infrastructure is 55 years old, how much maintenance do you need to do on plumbing, electricity, roofing, geysers, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
So if people are wondering, why is it so expensive? It's because of all these things. And I'm sure I'm not even counting all the costs that are required to run a facility like that, you know? So for me, on a day-to-day basis, I take those inquiries. And then I also liaise with families because of their cognitive disabilities, our beneficiaries are like children. So the families are still the legal guardians. So there's a lot of liaison between the center and the families. And like I'm the main person. And then we also have to take care of the psychosocial well-being of the residents, just meaning their mental, their emotional well-being and their relationships, you know. We have to run stimulation activities to keep them busy. They can't sit like watching the sun rise and set every day. They have to be doing something.
Wow, they can't watch you know? Big Brother Titans.
No, not all day.
Okay, wow.
So
wow.
And
another thing that struck me is that it's an NGO, but it's not funded by it's not even funded by the government. So there is no fee from the government that comes to your budget every year, or is there?
There is.
Okay.
There is. There is. And they also have targets, right? The government has targets. They have a number that they have to fund for, and they can't give you the whole amount that you need. Like for us, we get 2,500 rand per beneficiary.
Okay.
Which is not bad. It helps. You know, if you look at the 10,000, it helps. It makes a bit of a difference. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. Maybe the government will shoot me down. But the government itself, right? I feel like the people that make decisions also need, I don't know whether to say education or awareness about, if you're going to look at numbers, then look at numbers holistically. Don't just look at the target. We must meet the target of 100 people.
Yeah.
Look at inflation. Over the past 5 years, how much has the cost of everything gone up, and how much have you increased your subsidy to facilities, you know, that you are subsidizing? And then look at, why is it that we don't meet the targets? We don't meet the targets because it's expensive. People are not able to afford. You know, they try, they keep their people at home for as long as possible and only bring them to our facilities like when, you know,
they
just
can't anymore. Yeah.
They can't anymore. They have to, you know. Look at what does it cost really to run, like I've said, to run a facility. And if you're only giving 2,500 rands, who's supposed to cover the rest?
Hence, I'm saying it feels very much like a neglected stepchild in this field that you do. Now, let's move away from government a little bit and talk about us, the people, the community, the families. Like I said, I mean, before seeing your status, I mean, seeing your stories on Instagram, it never even crossed my mind. But I do know for a fact that there are people living with disability, there are people who are in facilities, there are people who are taken care of by social workers. Why don't we know about this? And how can we, from your perspective as a social worker and having been in the field for 20 years, what should we do? Or what should you do to get us interested in such things? Because one day it could be me, actually, not even a family member. It literally could be me needing to be in a facility.
I'm not sure if I really have the answer for that, because I think that, I don't know whether it's in our human nature or we've made ourselves that way. We become interested in things when they start affecting us. You know, when things don't affect us, I don't know how much interest we really take. But secondly, I'm thinking now about a friend of mine who has a child with autism. She had an opportunity to go overseas and lived there for almost a year with her child. And in comparison, it's like day and night where she was. She was in America. I don't remember what state she was in. But there's the way she described it, there was participation from the communities in terms of how the, what do we call them? How the municipality, what we would call a municipality, how the municipality should spend the money that is allocated to them. And they say, you know, we want to know about disability. We want to know about how to care for people with disabilities. So she says, even though she wasn't a citizen and she wasn't there permanently, she had people coming to her home to assess, you know, what kind of needs do they have as a family, she and her son, and what support can they give them? She says, even when she went to the shops, she could shop because shoppers were just aware. People were just sensitized to disability. They would ask her, you know, do you want me to stay with him for half an hour while you shop quickly? You know, they had respite care services where parents or families can say, call somebody and say, please come look after my child for an hour. I just need to go to the gym, or I just need to take a walk, or I just need a break for an hour or two, you know? So I think it's also the education. Like how many adverts have you really seen on TV? I don't watch TV. Maybe
I'm not I visit it these days, but it's not my favorite pastime either.
You know, like why can't government use TV to talk about disability and what people with disabilities face, you know, what their challenges are and what we can do as communities to look after people with disabilities. And you know, because I might have an interest and I might want to, but if I don't know what to do, if I look at a person with disability and I feel nervous and scared, and I won't do anything, you know. So it's also about that education and sensitization.
And sensitization. I mean, you mentioned this powerful way to that we are desensitized. I don't even think desensitized is the word. We've never even been sensitized. We've always, I mean, I'm thinking back to childhood. Anyone who sounded different, looked different, walked funny, we were almost socialized to avoid such people and to hide them and not see them. Perhaps that's what we are doing to facilities like yours, where we the less we see and hear, the better, until it happens to one. So I was really struck by that, by your post. What, I don't even know how to phrase this. If it were your facility, if it was your organization, and because I know you love the work, I mean, I've heard you privately speak about your beneficiaries. Look at your smile right now. How would you get us to be involved from now? I mean, we have social media, you have a platform, you have a voice, we listen to you and we honor you. How would you like us to participate? Maybe let me put it that way, as podcast, Stretch Podcast listeners who are interested in this, how would you like us to help and get involved? Because I mean, I'm in a way.
I think that the first thing is to be interested. You know, we have a whole disability month from the 3rd of November to the 3rd of December.
I
you know,
didn't know that. It,
you didn't know that. Wow.
I know gender based. I know the 16 days of activism. I know 8 day. I know cancer, breast cancer in October. I don't know about disability month. Yeah. Mm.
Wow. Okay. So maybe even us in the field, we need to put out that information more in the media. Maybe we need to do more activities that are not just about us. I think we're so focused on helping our beneficiaries and making them feel included that we've maybe also neglected the rest of the community.
Yeah.
So maybe our activities should be focused more on integrating, bringing the two together, our beneficiaries and the community, you know, doing activities that involve both. So I would say be interested. If you see disability, be interested, you know, like what is this disability month about? And taking interest in the people you know that have disabilities in your community.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Talk to them, find out, you know, how do they live? What are their struggles? Where can you support, you know? And we can come together as groups, you know, if you have a society, I don't know if people still have societies, you know.
Tinama Gen X, we still have umkalelo, yeah.
Umkalelo, you know, and even churches, you know, if you can, we can get together in those natural groups and say, you know, how can we help people with disabilities in our community? And being interested in what happens, what the services that government provides, you know, how do people with disabilities access those services? You know, like I thought, you know, when they said the Rea Vaya bus in Joburg, I don't know if it's in every city, but the Rea Vaya bus accommodates people with disabilities. I thought that, oh, wow, that is awesome. Until I got into work, I realized that only two people with wheelchairs to this bus.
Oh my god! You know, we are just not interested. I mean, there's a friend of mine. Let me not say friend because they have forgotten her name. But she advocates for workplaces to deliberately go out of their way to employ people living with disability. Oh my god! Can you know when you can see someone's face in your mind's eye, but the name is just not coming? Is it in Ntswaki? I think it's. I'm not sure. I don't remember. I haven't seen her in many years. And she would be fighting about those things, Bulel was saying. You know, they would say, we are disability friendly. And then you just see a very random, weird ramp next to the stairs that just doesn't work. And the toilet will be one and weird. And that time the organization has over 200 employees. And out of that 200, there's probably 20 living with disability, but they allocate them you know, one toilet and stuff like that. So she advocates for such things, which brings me to the workplace itself or corporate or, you know, a place of work. Would you, I mean, in as much as people who live with disability that you look after could be disabled for many other things, are there areas where they can do work, where, you know, a stretch school, for an example, can work with one of your, I don't know why I want to say candidates, beneficiaries, or are they like completely unable to work or do is there a spectrum? Basically, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, there's a spectrum. With the beneficiaries that I work with, they wouldn't be able to go into an open labor market. Yeah. But we run a workshop every day. They go to the workshop. And they do simple work like, you know, when you go for a blood test, there's that packet that has a cotton wool, a syringe, a plaster.
Oh, yes, I see it.
That,
oh, wow.
Our residents pack those things. Our beneficiaries pack those things in our workshop.
That's
you know,
nice.
So they can do that kind of work, you know, where they package things, they assemble things that are easy to work with. I don't know the correct technical terms, but they also work with screws. You know when you buy screws with a white thing socket at the end?
Yeah, a plastic
that
socket.
They
yes.
also They put those things together and package them in boxes.
Oh my
You know,
goodness,
so
yeah.
there is work that they can do. It's just a matter of people being interested and looking at, especially, I guess, more manufacturing type of people, you know, who manufacture. How do I,
I
you know,
get
the
it.
kind
I
of
get you.
products?
Yes.
So there
Instead,
is work.
there is work. I'm also thinking of one of our friend and colleague, Nolita, who does scarves and knits and all that. And she always says that, you know, I can do more, except I only have two hands, and she needs scarves and I'm a beanie and all that. And she gets a lot of orders now that we are going into autumn and winter. That kind of thing, you know, they could
That
knit.
kind of thing.
Yeah. And knitting is so
Definitely
therapeutic
there.
and so on. Now, a question to us, because you wear another hat as a healer and a life coach. What could we do? I'm just thinking of myself now. If I were to come to your facility for a day or two, no, not 2 days, maybe a day. And what kind of session would I have? Because I want to sensitize myself. I want to learn. I want to see, not obviously wearing a hat off, I want to help them. Is would you recommend that we come in and we spend a day and we do some workshops and we talk? Would they love such a thing?
They would. They would. I in my head, I always coach myself to say, you know what, treat them like you would treat any other human being. Meet them where they are at. And I will find activities to do with them that I feel would kind of put the message across, but also in a way that they would understand. Like I would take, for example, one activity that I've done with them is take a bag and put different objects in it, you know, a knitting needle, a ball of cotton wool, you know, and then get them to try and feel what is inside and try and describe it to the rest of the group. And then the rest of the group tries to guess what it is. So that helps them with their communication, to be able to describe and explain things, and the others to be able to listen. And, you know, so it's simple, basic communication skills, but it's still something, you know.
It's still
And
something.
more than those skills, it's the human element, the interaction,
Yebo.
The idea that we are seen. We are seen and we are heard and we matter.
I'm just thinking now that you are saying, that you're saying, you know, I want to do something with them, some activity. I'm thinking of book reading. I've written two books, as you know. One can come and just read, sit in a circle, we read the book, I explain what I explain, and just engage fellow human to fellow human, meeting them where they're at, as you're saying. So those are the kind of activities we should be thinking about, like go and engage with people, because I am sure that they feel isolated.
They
Where
do.
they are, and then family members, do you have visiting hours, visiting days, just like, you know, any other facility? And do you have families that neglect and completely forget, where you'd have to phone them and like, hey, umntwakini usesela?
Yes, we do, unfortunately. But also, you know, there's different categories of people. We've got what we call adult orphans, meaning that they don't have family anymore. They don't have parents. They themselves are in their 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s. So, you know, there isn't really family to come and visit them, to come and take them out or anything like that. And then you have the younger ones who still have parents who are more engaged, who are interactive, who will visit, who will take them out, you know, who still play a role. And then you have in-betweens who don't have parents, but maybe have siblings, have cousins who are interested in them and, you know, when they're able, come and see them and do things with them. And then you will have those. I try to think the best of people. I don't think they willfully just neglect and forget. You know, I think that there are things that happen in life where people find themselves not seeing their person for 6 months because they themselves were dealing with their own issues.
Or they're not even in the same town, or it's just,
yes,
you know, how hard life can be for people. I mean, people are having it really, really, really difficult out there. Wow. Now, about the money, Your facilities is, I mean, you are surviving on a deficit. I just don't know how you even earn an income. I suppose it's the God provide type of thing. Do you run fundraising activities or it's not part of the mandate? You just have to deal with what you deal with, the way people pay whatever they can. Because I'm sure even that 10K, some paid, some don't. And it's not like you can kick someone out. Do you run fundraising? Is it something that's on the radar? Because that's more or less a way one can play a role as well, you know? The
We
subscriber
do.
of the podcast could come in handy. And this is why the podcast is also, subscription based now, because we really just want to help other areas, yeah.
I'm sure people have seen charity shops, secondhand shops, mostly
I've seen it. I heard
it's clothing.
there's one in Eden Vale, yes.
So that's one of the activities that a lot of people like, or a lot of organizations like us try to do. We have a bookshop. It does bring in a bit, maybe let me say on average 10,000 rands a month, which is not bad, but still it's not what we need. And we're only now adding a secondhand shop. And then we have a fundraiser, who goes out and builds partnerships, but it also depends on what companies are interested in funding, Like what we've found is that they're more interested in funding, what do you call it again? When you're not giving cash, you're giving in kind or something like that.
I don't know what you call
But like that's what they would do. Instead of giving us cash, maybe, né?
Yeah.
They would say, come and shop at our shop for 10,000 rands a month. And then you can
Okay.
go and shop, whether it's clothing or it's toiletries or
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
or come and shop for maintenance stuff,
Like paint
equipment
and
or things that we
equipment.
need.
Okay. So they give
So we
you a
do.
voucher of some sort. Okay. Yeah,
So
no,
we
that's.
do try to fundraise, but again, it depends on what people are interested in and what people have to give, I suppose.
And it's also a department on its own. I mean, you've just mentioned how sort of short-staffed you are. And really, you are not in the business of raising money. You're in the business of looking after people living with disabilities. So it can easily just be forgotten, the fundraising part of things. Well, Bulelwa, you guys are doing God's work. I was touched deeply by that. And it's so funny because I've known you for years and I've known that you work with people who are struggling, but it's so funny that it's only now that I'm like, wait a minute, what? Yeah, so you guys are doing God's work, and I hope from the people who are listening, at least some awareness is out there, and we can find a way. As the podcast grows, we will surely come through, either in kind or with bags and bags of cash. To help you out.
Awesome.
And you never know who's listening, so don't be surprised if people come knocking at your door. Now, I have asked you before we close the podcast, I have asked you the five questions before, but there's a new one, and I'm just going to ask you that one. And it's about what is stretching you right now. What are you what's getting you out of your comfort zone? What is stretching Hulelwa right now?
You know what? Funny enough, it's money.
Please don't talk
Whole
about
concept of
money.
money. That's why I say funny
That thing is a traumatizing entity. I know we should love it and all sorts. Oh, but my God. Yeah. Okay, tell me what strike what's
there
the
isn't. Yeah, the reason it's stretching me is because I think I was in some kind of la la land for a very long time, being like, I'm doing God's work, God will take care of me, it will be fine,
Yeah.
And God does take care of us, but I'm learning that there are certain physical laws that you must follow
Yeah.
in the physical realm to be able to attain certain things,
Yes.
So getting out of that comfort zone of I have to put myself out there,
Yeah.
I have to learn about what is business, you know, like
My
what is a
goodness,
business? How do you actually promote your work? What is marketing? What is sales? What are the differences? So learning all of that,
Oh, my word.
That's right now.
Let me tell you, that
and also,
continue.
I wanted to say, and also, where do they meet? You know, the spiritual part of things and the physical part of things.
Where do they meet? You just, I don't know.
Yeah.
In my head, I just saw a flash of. Do you remember Pac-Man? Pac-Man, you know, if you win the first round, the second round, the next level is called they meet. So I don't know where the. I don't know why I had that image in my head. So I don't know where the spiritual and the business meet, but they do meet somewhere. I actually know, it's just that it's going to just prolong this whole
Take
thing.
you long.
But I just wanted to say that it is a stretch that is worth your time and effort, because if you look at also the Bible, around money and work and all that, they are verses that are straight up facts and factual and physical and rents and cents. And then there's the energetic side of things. So I think you and I have been on the energetic side of things for a while. I dabbled there too. I hate the business. I really, really don't like it. But I've had to understand that it doesn't happen on its own. You know, spirit became flesh for a reason. Spirit becomes flesh. So you have to put a subscription model. You have to put a price. You have to sell. It's planet Earth. It's planet Earth. Martha Beck, one of my favorite coaches, Martha Beck, says, if we don't want to do some of these things, then we came to the wrong planet.
That's accurate.
Yeah. Anyway, this was absolutely amazing. And I thank you for your time. Yeah. I really think I'm going to probably make this episode, the whole of it free, because I think it's an important message. And so that more people can hear it, it can be reserved for subscribers. And there's many episodes that I will just make them free just to get the message out there. So yeah, thank you.
Wow,
for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Amazing. This is awesome. Thank you for helping us to put the message out there.
Yeah, because it's so funny. Even mainstream media, let me not talk about mainstream media. Let me just say goodbye. And I love you. Love you. Love your work.
I love you. I love your work. Thanks, Lebo.
Now, how interesting was that? Hey, if you know of a social worker, or if you are married to a social worker, you work with a social worker, you are, please share this episode. And please do also send me some social workers' details and numbers so we can have them on the podcast and hear more. And who knows, hey, especially those of you who are subscribed to the podcast, you know, some of the things I would like us to do with your subscription is to help out on things like this. Maybe not necessarily the entire system, but a facility like Bulelo's facility, where part of the subscription goes to them. You know, the whole idea of having a subscription model is so that when one has enough, one can share, you know, one can spread the love and spread the resources, you know, so that you are not only giving in kind, you are also giving in tangible, you know, resources. If there's more resources, you give, you know. And that's why, you know, people like me, people who do what I do, who impact so many people, it is also helpful to have physical resources like money, because you have no idea, guys, how many people knock at my door, literal door and my figurative door, as in my DMs and my emails, where people are asking for money, are asking for help, asking for food. So it is really and truly, how do I put this without sounding weird? That's why, you know, one needs resources. And if I can use the platform such as the podcast and my coaching notes, where I could collect subscriptions, One can then spread that. And I used to do that, hey, where we used to have, we've got mail back in Facebook, for those of you who used to follow me from Facebook. We've got mail, people would knock at my door, once again, I mean the DMs, asking for money, like, I'm losing my car, I'm losing my house, I don't have food. And I would post on my wall and people would contribute. And we would take that money and give it to them, and I would come back and account, because that's what I do. That's what you do with when people are trusting you with their resources, with their monies. So think about it. Think about subscribing if you have not found it in your heart to do so. Consider it, because it's not just money that goes into one's pocket. It's money that goes far and beyond, especially if it's heart money, you know, money that's coming from your heart. It does far more than you can even anticipate. Okay, so that's my schlep. I have two questions. I promised you that I had two questions that I want to answer. So one person asked, a former student, she was a stretcher, and she's like, Auslebo, I love the podcast, as you know, I want to subscribe, I'm definitely subscribing, but I am just wary of doing these online programs, paying with my card, you know, sometimes you can't stop it, and it just messes up with my credit card, with my credit. Is it possible that I pay directly into the Stretch account? When she says the Stretch account, she means my bank account. It's not a Stretch account, it's my bank account. The answer is yes and no. So it's yes if you are willing, if you're going to pay for 6 months or 12 months upfront. It is no if you want to pay the 99 rands, because the reason being, part of why we have those automated subscription things is so that I don't have to deal with the admin of, yeah, you didn't pay this month, we're going to kick you out. Ay, man, guys. Ay, 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 ay. So if it's a 6 months, if you pay 6 months, which is nearly 600, right? It's 594. That way I give you a code. You punch in that code on the subscriber. So you go to podcast subscribe, you subscribe, you get that code, you punch it in, it gives you 6 months access. 6 months later, it's easier to remind you than every month where you miss a month and now we have to take you out and then take you back. Guys. So if you are prepared to pay 594 upfront into the Stretch account, as you call it, it's a yes. If you're prepared to pay for 12 months into my account, then it's a yes. But if you want to do 99 rands, no, 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 no. Use the Gumroad link. And by the way, that 6 months, 3 months, and 12 months option also exists on that app. When you click Stretch podcast subscription, it will give you option one, 99 rands a month. Option two, quarterly, you pay for 3 months. Option three, you pay for 6 months. Option four, you pay for the whole year. So you can still have it there. But I do understand the frustrations or the fears of people who don't want to put their credit card or debit card details on a platform they don't know. I respect your reservations, and you will catch up with us in 2050. Just joking, guys. Just joking. So that was question one. What was question two? No, actually, it was one question. Why did I think it was two questions? It was one question. So yes, you can pay into my account, and the account is on the show notes there. I've put it there for people like you. What you would need to do, though, is as soon as you finish paying, send me an email. The email is also down there on the show notes. And on the email, I need you to send it directly with your email address, because we will need your email address to send you the link, because you can't access it without the email address. You know what I mean? So send me your email and say, I have paid for 6 months. This is my name. And then we then put you in there. We give you a code and then we email it back to you. And then you are set. Lawana merakwateng already. It's just a lot of work. Instead of just you clicking there, putting your debit card details and subscribing, you can unsubscribe anytime. If you feel like, I Stretch podcast to kariambora, you click unsubscribe and it's over. you back to the partial episodes. One day when your heart is fine again and you're like, ah, actually, I think I want to go back, you come back. That's it. That's all there is to it. No contract, no obligation. It's just, you know, you are giving back before what you are receiving. That's it. It's just an exchange of energy. And I'm going to keep quiet. And I will see you next week with a beautiful guest. Oh, my goodness. Next week, it's like, yo. You know how we always say to someone, just breathe. Yeah, we are talking about the power of breath. It's not going to be the free one. So if I were you, I would subscribe. Now, see you next week. And I wish you love.